Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome again to Todd Clint's SharePoint podcast number 305, recorded live Monday, September 12th, 2016. I, of course, as always, am your host, Todd Clint. And once again, crashing your and I's intimate little party is that guy from Cincinnati, Shane Young. Shane?
Aw, you missed me. I mean, what would you without me?
I would probably have a lot of success and much more happiness in my life. I got to change the password to these accounts. I just got to do that.
Remember what happened last time? You changed the password on me, and I was able to figure it out because you're super secure security there. So try as you might, you're stuck with me.
That's true. And I keep using passwords like I hate Shane, Shane sucks, Shane is fat, and I think you've caught on to my trend. So I gotta do something else. I don't know. Before we get too much further down the love fest here, got to say a moment to the folks at Rackspace. I did get a new a piece of flair for my ID this week. If you look now, I've got that one right there. It's my distinguished architect. Extreme close up there.
I saw your nose hairs. That's all I could see there.
I normally do such a good job trimming them. But anyway, so the folks at Rackspace, you can go out to sharepoint.rackspace.com and find out about all those crazy things we do. And rackspace.com/Microsoft. For me personally, you can hit me up on Twitter at Todd Clint, email me todd.clint@rackspace.com, carrier pigeons and all that kind of thing. Any way you want to get a hold of me, I will listen. And in the unlikely event that anybody out there wants to get a hold of Shane or find out what he's doing, Shane, tell the nice people how to get a hold of you.
Hey, you can always do Twitter, right? At Shane's Cows. I begrudgingly 500 years ago joined that thing. So I'm there. You got boldzebras.com, and it's zebras with an S, right? If you only do Bold Zebra, it's some really cool socks. If you buy some, send me a pair. I need some. And then there's YouTube. I'm always on YouTube. Just did a PowerShell video today, so come and see me.
Oh, that's right. You have been just a little attention whore out on YouTube lately. You're going to – we should – so what's your YouTube channel? Did you say it?
It's about this long, right? It's Shane Young Cloud. It's easier if you go find me on Twitter or somewhere, then, you know, work your way back to it.
God, that's awesome. So in the chat room, Daniel Glenn put a screenshot of me holding my badge up, and I just happened to have my finger over the T. I should have done T-O, and then my nickname could be Dee Dee. Anyway, so go out and give Shane some views on his videos. He puts so much work into them, and honestly, folks, they're so hard for him. Like these beginning PowerShell ones, he studied for weeks to do this thing. So go out there, give him some of those thumbs up out in YouTube.
Get dash command. I mean, that's like 12 or 13 character word. I mean, that takes a lot to type.
So much typing. Yeah. The other thing is Shane got a new computer this week, or put a computer together. And so it took him many minutes to get his browser situation figured out and all that. So go out there and give him some love.
Well, the good news was, you know, I got the new computer and I fired up Slack, you know, and it only slightly dimmed the lights in the house now, you know. This damn thing takes so much RAM. I just don't understand it.
All the stuff in your freezer is defrosting now and all that. Yeah,
which used to be the Surface generated so much heat that it warmed up the stuff in the freezer. Now it's the power drain from running Slack. I just don't know what to tell you.
I think Duke maybe needs to run another line out to your house. Maybe you could tap out of Kings Island over there. Just run a cable over or something.
There you go. I don't know how you people do this Slack thing. So.
All right, for production notes, for the first time in a very long time, I'd have to go back through the archives. I think I'm all caught up. I think that two-week break was exactly what I needed to get 1 week's worth of podcasts out. So as of today, September 12th of 2016, Common Era, all the podcasts are out. Of course, I'm now, you know, 35 minutes away from being behind again, but I'm going to enjoy it while I've got it.
Well, I mean, as if the past teaches us anything, every time that you brag about being ahead or caught up, it'll be a month before this show gets out, right? It will be Halloween.
My kids will be leaving college and
all that. So, yeah, sorry for all of you.
I need to get one of those virtual assistants, you know, from the Philippines or something, and get them to do that something. Now that you got the new computer, Shane, there we go. I see some synergy. I like it.
Well, you know, I've been looking for consulting work. So if you want to pay my SharePoint consulting fees to do, Nightcast production, no problem.
Uh-huh. Right. I'll love it. That check will be in the mail.
You got all that new house money. You're set.
I got half my house doesn't have any furniture in it. Are you kidding? And my wife discovered this new website. Any of you out there that have wives, and I suppose husbands too, go out right now to whatever like router you have, whatever internet perimeter thing, and block Wayfair.com. Oh my, that and Zillow, while you're out there, Zillow's another one to block too. Oh, good gracious. It's, oh my. I'm surprised that the UPS guy even speaks to me anymore.
Well, and so with Wayfair, some of those times actually, my wife also orders from there. They send like a actual like big freight truck to my house to drop off stuff. It's not even the UPS guy. So if you haven't graduated to the freight truck, your wife's doing good so far.
I guess I've not ever seen it. I assumed it was a UPS truck, but hell, it could have been a semi for some of the loads. So, and this has nothing to do with anything, but we moved here a couple of months ago, and we've been finding ways to force ourselves to get things done. And we got the old house on the market and all that. So we had to finish up with the new house. We still had boxes everywhere. And I said, okay, Saturday on the 10th, there's a big football game with the local college Iowa State was playing. I'm like, I'm inviting like 50 people over. They will all judge us if there's boxes and stuff everywhere. So that was our motivation to get everything unpacked and put away. Apparently, what I didn't understand when I made that challenge was that was also my wife's motivation to go out to Wayfair and buy just one of everything so that we would have furniture and pictures and anyhow, so we got all that. But the party went off great.
Well, hopefully they make a mistake, though. They sent us a $600 chair. It was the wrong one. They're like, yeah, it costs us too much to come and get it. Just keep it. So
they did send us the wrong chair. They sent my wife an office chair, and they sent her the wrong one. And we didn't want to fuss with sending it back, so she wasn't going to say anything.
We should have said something.
Well, we just got it like Friday morning, so good to know. Good to know. All right. So,
things.
Yeah. So production notes. Next week, Google is changing how YouTube does live streams and all that. I'm fairly confident that Shane and I will be able to figure out how to put this thing on next week. If there's no sign of us on Monday, the 19th, it's because we can't figure out the new Hangouts. So be patient. We've tested it once and it worked, but who knows where that's going. Okay, for topics, I'm bringing in somebody special. Jason Himmelstein, a coworker of mine. You got to say something, Jason, to get the focus there.
Oh, sorry. Hey, how are we doing?
So Jason showing what a big fan of mine that he is. He's gone out and got a nearly life-sized copy of my head.
Not big enough to be like.
That's what I'm saying. It's almost just a little 80% scale.
Yes. Next time you're in Castle, you still have to come pick this thing up from my desk. It's still sitting here.
I know you would cry like a baby if I took that away.
I do have a special hang up spot just right here behind my desk, just for when I want to feel the love, because you're not here often enough.
It's where that tape was behind you as you ripped it off right before the.
Exactly.
So I brought Jason in because here in a couple of weeks, Jason and I are going to be in Atlanta for Ignite. And I wanted to get Jason on to talk a little bit about what we're going to be doing at Ignite.
Yes, I've been working all day on our slides for Ignite. This is why I'm here in Castle. I'm exhausted. Todd has been a taskmaster and having me put all these things together so that we can talk to you awesome people about all of the cool stuff that's going on with SharePoint these days.
It's good to not have to do all the slides myself. For a lot of years, I did, Jason, I did some sessions with this other guy, and I don't want to call it any names or anything, but I had to do all the work, and so it's nice to see how that feels from the other side.
Yeah. I wrote all the jokes. I wrote all the slides. I was a pretty one and the smart one. Yeah, I see where you did all the work.
Oh, he's the taller one now, so that's where he's riding the coattails off, because that's what he told me was he did all the work because you were taller. So, you know.
Yeah,
but I'm getting lifts for my shoes for the next one of these we do, though, just so you know. So, so we have two sessions that we're doing together at Ignite. And, of course, our wonderful benefactor here at Rackspace is going to have a booth, a nice big presence. Lots of folks. I've got several people from my team coming to the event. But on Tuesday morning, so Monday, I think, is all the keynote stuff. And Tuesday morning, you and I are going to dive into Microsoft SharePoint 2016 upgrade and migration. Lots of fun. I think you've done that topic a couple of times in previous iterations, but now we get to do it for 2016.
Yeah, I've upgraded a SharePoint environment or two. So yeah, and it was funny. So Jason and I both got selected to speak at Ignite, and they gave Jason the upgrade session and they gave me the planning and all that session, which is exactly each other's sessions. I always do upgrade sessions. I had a deck ready. He had the other one. I've seen him deliver it. So that was funny. We kind of we did some stuff there, some swapping. Yeah.
So Thursday, so that was Tuesday at 10:45. On Thursday, I believe that it's, you know, somewhere around 12:30 time frame. We've got another session we're doing together about deploy and provisioning best practices for SharePoint 2016, all about performance and all sorts of cool stuff. So that's the one that we're doing together as well. That's Thursday afternoon. I think you have a session at our booth though as well, don't you?
I've got a couple little like 20-minute sessions or something. I forget when they are. There's one Tuesday afternoon and one Wednesday-ish. I don't remember. And that's just kind of basically a way for if people don't want to sit through 75 minutes of me, and Lord knows I completely get why that would be the case, but just want to come by and say hi, I'll be at the booth. There'll be a schedule there. I'm going to be talking about Azure AD and identity and how to get jump started into hybrid environments between on-prem SharePoint or hosted SharePoint and Office 365. And I don't know what those, but again, they'll be at the booth, stopped by the Rackspace booth. I don't have our booth number handy. Do you know what that's?
I do not either, but I'm sure we can find it by the end of your show and put it into the Slack channel here. So I'm also doing a 20-minute session, but mine's in the hub area. They gave me 20 minutes to talk about why hybrid equals coexistence for SharePoint on-prem and Office 365. I'm going to probably get my name out, and that's about all. But 20 minutes worth of talk there. There's a bunch of people registered. Should be a lot of fun. I think you may come over and crash that with me as well. We had talked about that. We're not sure yet. But I saw something in the Slack channel asking about the Rackspace party. There will be a Rackspace party. It is going to be on the floor of the trade show. When they do free beer, come by the Rackspace booth. We'll be there partying because that's just how we roll. So when there's free beer on the floor, come to the Rackspace booth. We'll be there hanging out.
I was just going to say, if there's a Rackspace party, I have not been invited.
But you're the center of the party, Todd. Come on.
My invite must have been lost in the mail. So the other thing we're thinking about doing is a bunch of us are going to be there. And I'm thinking about having like a podcast get together, maybe breakfast or something, just get together and hang out. I need to check schedules. I know there's some other events going on. But if you're going to be at Ignite and you want to come hang out for a bit, shoot me an email and I'll send some stuff out about that. But I need to figure out for sure when that's going to be.
Yeah. I've got one more session I'm doing. Well, I've got two other sessions I'm doing, but only one I'll highlight for now. One is it is Learn from MVPs. It's a panel discussion on all things SharePoint. So it's pretty much a we've got a couple of questions and answers that we've going to – well, the questions, not so much the answers that the moderator is going to have for us. But it's me, Ben Nylon, Jennifer Mason, Sue Hanley, Christian Buckley, and Fabian Williams, you know, all sitting up on a panel. You can come throw things at us. It should be a lot of fun. If you're going to throw things, make sure you aim for Christian, though. That's the key. You always aim for Christian, and you end up hitting Ben Nylon. That's the way it works.
Ben's got that big beard. It's very prominent, and things are just attracted to it.
Oh, stuff gets stuck in it. That's the fun. So squirrel. As long as you're throwing something that can get stuck, it'll work. So, but yeah, that is Ignite. It's going to be a crazy fun time there in Hotlanta, and make sure you bring some shorts because it still will be hot in Atlanta.
And so if you haven't noticed already, any of us, Jason, myself, we're all really friendly people, so don't be a bit shy about coming to the booth, or if you see us in the hall or something, grab us. We'd love to shake your hand, meet you, say hey, all that.
Todd loves hugs.
I do love hugs. I am it's true. All right. So anything else, Jason, before I kick you out?
No, I think I need to get back to work on these slides because I have a deliverable for you by the end of the day, I think. So
yeah,
I better get back to work.
Yeah, that's true.
So, all right. Jason. Thanks for having me, Shane. Always good to, talk to you. It's all fantasy football all the time with us these days, but it's nice to actually get to see you.
It is good to see you, Jason. And I just, want you to do a really good job of being the shorter one. I know there's a big role there to handle where you just take up room on the stage and you go get waters and things like that. So
I press play on the demos. Yeah, it's gonna be hard. I'm
get shoes
I'm
thrown
try.
At you. Yeah, that's
all right, guys. Have a good rest of the show. Bye.
Oh, good times.
Thank God that is over. I was so
that guy would not be quiet. Oh geez, he's still on the sun.
Oh man.
How embarrassing. All right, so now on to some news for the last half. It's been a busy time the last couple of weeks in SharePoint and Office 365 land. One of the big things that have come out in the last week is they have released external access for Office 365 groups.
Yay.
Yeah, and this is kind of a confusing thing because there's already kind of been external access, and Office 365 groups have been around, but what's a group? So this was kind of confusing. So in the show notes, I've got a link to one of Tony Redmond's articles on Petri.com about that. And it kind of explains, if you guys have ever gone to any of Tony Redmond's sessions, Tony Redmond may very well have been the very first Exchange admin ever back in 1973, I think, was when he started his Exchange admin career. And he is one of the most prolific Exchange writers and all that. And so he's got this blog post on Petri that talks about external access for Office 365 groups. And it is thorough and concise and a really good read. So I recommend that. Couple of things that I wanted to point out with these Office 365 groups. So again, this isn't just SharePoint. This isn't just Exchange. This is this, you know, admin object in the background, Office 365 groups. You now have the ability to add somebody outside of your tenant to your tenant and give them access to some things inside of your tenant. On his blog post, Tony's got a table that kind of talks about what the thing is and whether the guest will be able to use it with this new thing. So stuff like, you know, will they be able to access SharePoint online documents? Yes. Will they be able to browse for people in the global address list for the tenant? No. Can they join in the shared calendar and Exchange? Not directly, but they can with email, things like that. So Tony's blog post is pretty good.
Yeah, it's really interesting, right? You definitely get the impression when they set out to make the Office 365 experience, they had no concept that anyone would ever want to share their tenant, right? Because it was back in the early days of cloud, and everyone was like, I have to have my stuff so sacred and secure. And now every time you talk to someone, you're like, hey, how do I get an extranet experience in Office 365? And Microsoft is doing a good job of keeping up. It'll be, you know, it's once they get all these pieces built, someone's going to have to come back and kind of weave the story into one solid story. Yeah. But they're at least trying to keep up with this idea that everyone wants to do extranet in the cloud, which they were afraid in the beginning was going to expose their information to the people they're now trying to give access to.
Yeah, and you know, you and I have been SharePoint admins forever, and that whole extranet access thing has been a problem since, you know, the second person ever used SharePoint. Like the first person ever used SharePoint, and then the second person is like, well, I want to invite that guy that doesn't work at my company. I mean, so back, you know, if you think about it 10 years ago, you and I were coming up with these complicated AD structures with trusts and firewall rules and all these crazy things you had to do to keep people from seeing other people. And so, I mean, it's a problem that has existed for well over a decade. And yeah, so it's good to see there's some options now.
Yeah. I mean, the nice thing about all those complicated architectures we used to make is no one ever implemented them, right? They ended up just adding the people to their own AD and being like, yeah, well, I know the right thing to do, but yeah.
Yeah, so I did for one of my previous employers, and this was back in the SharePoint 2003 days, I think, or 2007. But anyway, that's when I learned about the everyone group or the all users group. I forget which it was, because we had these two domains. One was internal people and one was external people. And some of our internal people were adding everybody, not realizing it also added every external person as well. Oops. Yeah. So then I had to do all kinds of, I don't want to get into all that, but it's good that Office 365 is, there are plenty of ways to do that now. And then with the other stuff, there's, you know, the Azure B2B and B2C, there's all these ways to skin that cat. So if you've got a situation where you've got an Office 365 tenant, you want to add people outside of your tenant or from other tenants, check out these groups, read Tony's article. So the other thing I wanted to mention about this, you end up still having to create a Microsoft account. You can use like a Gmail address or something, but you have to create a Microsoft account if you don't already have one. And unfortunately, there's no way to look at your Microsoft account and say, see, you know, show me all the tenants I've been given access to. There's no aggregated place to do it, unless that place is OneNote or a text file or your browser favorites or something like that.
Wait, you forgot about good old pen and paper.
I did forget about that. Yes, or writing on a shovel with coal. Yeah, I forgot about that one too.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, right? Everyone at Microsoft, right, their goal is to push everyone into Azure AD. So let's just start this Office 365 extranet experience, assuming everyone is in Azure AD. Mm-hmm. So, you know. And speaking of Azure AD, is that a segue?
Yeah. Oh, that was very good. Except for the point where you pointed out the segue. It was,
one of these days.
I'll write you a note and mail it to you. So go ahead and take it. You had such a masterful segue.
Oh, but it was a setup. No, so yeah, one of the cool things that just got released was the, well, just got released knowing the show is going to get put out in 3 to 6 months. The Azure AD admin experience is finally in the Azure portal. So it's been one of the big complaints about the new portal versus the classic portal. You had to go to the classic portal to do Azure AD, and that is finally, in preview anyway, in the proper portal. So I think that's a big step forward for us. We've been looking forward to that for a while. Now, I will warn you that both Todd and I jumped in there, and we were pretty much overwhelmed by the number of buttons and links right away.
Yeah, so the first thing that I thought of as Shane and I were clicking through it was that scene at the end of the movie 2001 where Dave Bowman goes into the monolith and all you hear is, my God, it's full of stars. That was the first, when I brought that page up, I'm like, my God, it's full of buttons. They're everywhere.
You can't... See, and I thought I was on weather.com, right? There was all these colors and things. I was like, hey, if this page loads in 5 minutes, it'll finally show me what the temperature is outside.
Yeah. But it's going to rain next. So the thing that I loved about this is now we have yet another Azure portal. So we've got, what, 6, 8 of them now? But I do like that the portal names are getting shorter and easier to remember. And the old crappy one that we used to use, or probably still use to some extent, is manage.windowsazure.com. And the new stuff is now at portal.azure.com. So a lot of the same words, different orders, split up differently, not confusing at all.
Yeah, one of the nice things, right, is if you in portal.azure.com, if there isn't an experience for that, it will give you a link back to the classic portal, the other terrible URL you just mentioned. So I use portal.azure.com pretty much daily.
Yeah. But it's good. You know, that was one of the promises of all of this in the cloud thing and Azure thing was that it was just going to constantly get improved. And every once in a while, it is an improvement and it's kind of nice. It's frequently changed, not quite as frequently improved, but
we've
got
that.
Yeah. So, and also, so now we've got, you know, we're talking about Azure and going into the portal. There's so many different resources and things inside a portal, the Azure portal. It's tough to keep track of what things are going to cost you. And so Shane has a link to the new Azure pricing calculator.
Yeah, I found that someone was asking me the other day, they were going to build some SharePoint farms out in Azure and like turn them on, turn them off type of thing for some training. And they're like, well, what's it cost? And, you know, can you estimate all that? And I was just poking around, so I don't know how new the Azure pricing calculator is, but I found it. It was a pretty nice interface. I could actually just go in and say, all right, you know, add an object, and then here's the type of object, here's the region it's in, and then the pricing for it, and then add another object. It was kind of a nice, you know, build it and move back and forth scenario. So it was pretty easy to use.
If I can use it. Yeah, so that means, you know, anybody can do that. So, yeah, you just go in, you're just like, hey, I want to do Azure Active Directory, and it tells you what you know, estimates what your cost is going to be. So if this is $14, I can't see what that's getting me.
Well, I mean, they're not going to give you any details, but at least you get a price.
So that's funny. So I've got it in here, everything's zero, and it's $14 a month. Yeah, so apparently that's
base cost. Yeah, so I was using it, we were playing with was, you know, building – so an AD server, a SharePoint server, and a SharePoint or a SQL server, and it was pretty easy to say, okay, now take that SQL server and then turn it into just a Windows server, and I'll use my own SQL licensing and kind of play with those pricing and manipulations pretty quick. It worked out.
Yeah, and so they've got. I'm just kind of poking around here. They've got everything in here. It's huge. So yeah, if you're trying to figure out, and that's one of the things. You know, at Rackspace, we obviously sell our own hosting, and we've got things on Azure and trying to figure out pricing and comparisons and stuff. This kind of functionality is much needed. So yeah. That's good. So one of the things that we wanted to talk about from the Microsoft file, security patches went out a couple of weeks ago, I guess at the beginning of September, and MS-16-101 does some security stuff, tightens some stuff down with Kerberos and NTLM. Also has the unfortunate side effect of making it so that you can't change your managed service account passwords in SharePoint.
Does anyone actually do that, or are we just complaining about an academic thing?
Yeah. So that's the thing. You know, in theory, this should be making a lot of people mad. And in reality, I don't know that anybody's noticed yet. So the good news is there are some workarounds. The blog post that I found it on is at Trevor Seward's site, thesharepointfarm.com. And you can see there, and he's got some things in there. I think he's got some workarounds in that. But be careful. And that's always the thing when the security patches come out, normally it's because they know that there's a problem and possibly somebody's exploiting it. So you want to get those on as quick as you can, but then you sometimes have this problem where it breaks stuff for the good guys and the bad guys.
Yeah, one of those security patches also sometimes get rammed down your throat, right? They are the type of things that magically appear in Windows Update. So
magically. So be careful for that one. And again, that's a Windows patch. That's not even a SharePoint thing. So you might not have that in your purview as a SharePoint admin. You might not be thinking about it.
Yeah, that was the same problem with the July CU, right? It showed up in Windows Update to bring the security pieces forward, and it got some people in some weird farm states because they just didn't realize they were applying a SharePoint update. So.
Yeah. Yep. So keep an eye out for that one. If you've got somebody who's running your patching servers and stuff like that, make sure you understand that. So now a couple of fun things as we're winding down the last couple of minutes. The next one is super awesome, but I'll let Shane, he was the one who put it in there, so I'll let him take the lead on that one.
Oh, I put this one in there? Yay me.
I think so.
No, this was you. But this is the excitement, right? So one of the downsides of Todd's new house is that his fridge is terrible. He has a terrible refrigerator.
Very disappointed in my refrigerator, and I've told it so. I'm angry and disappointed in it.
So thankfully, the folks at LG said, hey, this is a chance to get a new customer on board. And so they have put Windows 10 on a refrigerator just so someone like Todd Clint would buy it.
Now, I will tell you, so this is the reason that I think you put it in the notes, because in the notes it says LG put Windows 10 on a fridge, and I thought it was Lori. I thought she put Windows 10 on her fridge, and I'm like, I don't know why she would do that. She seems smarter than that. But then LG. Yeah, and so this thing, so there's been in the last year or two, I think Samsung started it, but there's been a couple of these smart fridges that have come out. Now, as a tech nerd, the more switches and blue LEDs that something has, the more I like it. You just can't have enough LCDs and all that kind of stuff. I'm on board if you want to do this. There have been a bunch of these fridges that do this kind of thing to varying degrees of success. This one has something that I find really cool, though. So it's got a huge sideways monitor. I can't remember, 24 inches or something like that, in portrait mode on the door. And it's running Windows 10. So it's got your tiles and it's got the start screen. And you can run apps and you know, watch funny cat videos and all that. But it also has this feature that if you knock on the screen, it makes the screen go translucent so you can see what's in the fridge without actually opening the fridge.
I'm so sad for you.
That is awesome. I would have one right now. We would be doing like an unboxing video right now if they actually sold them. So the article that from The Verge says that it's going to be what, out the end of this year or something like that.
Yeah. Well, that's you put Slack on it, right? So then you could crash your refrigerator and generate more heat in there.
So I'm seeing something. If we could have a stove with Windows 10 on it and run Slack on that, it could also preheat, brown your pizza a little bit on the top.
I think you're onto something there. Between that and producing videos, I mean, you just cook a whole meal.
Exactly. This has got potential. It's a full Windows 10 PC. It's running an Atom processor. It's got 2 gig of RAM. It's the real deal.
Mind blown. And so speaking of mind being blown, as a special treat to Todd, right, because I know that he loves his Canadian friends, so they bring him those Canadian candies his kids love so much.
I love them one and all.
We have provided you a link to the 13 incredible facts about Canada that everyone needs to know. It'll be a test next week, so make sure you guys all study up.
Yep, this was a great one.
It's important things to know, right? There's between 500 and 600 moose vehicle collisions a year in Canada. I mean, who knew?
Yep. So growing up in Iowa, so I don't know how it is in the rest of the country, hitting deer around here is a pretty common thing. There's certain seasons and the deer, they don't know any better. But deer, you don't really get hurt too bad. Deer aren't very big. But a friend of mine in high school had a Honda CRX, which was just basically like a seat with wheels. And she hit a cow So I mean, it's not funny, but it's funny because it totaled her car. I mean, the car was just demolished. And I'm sure the cow may not have even known anything happened. I'm sure the cow just walked off, swatted its tail at her car, and just kept going. So I can see how these moose, and a moose, obviously, you know, gigantic.
Well, I mean, between that, you know, and people going, 15% of Canadians visit Tim Hortons daily, so also gigantic. You know, make some maple syrup. I mean, this is good reading. So I really appreciate it if all of you will study up next week, and there'll be a quiz.
Yep, one of my favorite facts from that was one I'd always heard kicked around, but that 75% of the population of Canada lives within 100 miles of the U.S. So
is that because they're gearing up to invade? Tell me the truth.
You know, if we're going to get invaded by anybody, honestly, I would love it to be the Canadians. They would be so polite about it. They would be so great. And they would all come with maple syrup and, oh, yeah.
Wait, isn't this an episode of South Park?
So I welcome our northern aggressors. Come on down. It'll be there's some really good facts in there. And the last thing that I wanted to talk about, this was a crazy thing that I saw. The headline was, now you can buy a USB stick that destroys anything in its path. And this is not a USB stick that has Slack on it, which is what I originally thought this was going to be. So this is a USB device. I don't even want to call it a stick, but it's a USB device that you plug in, and it's got capacitors or something on it, and it uses the power from the USB port to charge up some capacitors, charge up something on the device, and then it blows the voltage back through and destroys the device you plugged it into. That's just mean. That's
I don't even understand, right? This is one of those things you just want to be like, who thought this was a good idea? Who thinks I don't know.
Yeah, and so part of it's just, you know, what is this thing? But the thing that they bring up, and I think that is kind of a valid point, is, you know, I've never shoved a bunch of voltage into the USB port of any of my devices. I don't know if it just burns up the USB controller or what the damage is. But their point was that anything that has a publicly accessible USB port can probably be destroyed now. I mean, probably, you know, legitimately disabled. So they give examples in the article, things like, you know, the seatback entertainment on airplanes and things like that, copy machines, any of that kind of stuff. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't have USB ports anywhere, but I've always, when you hear things about like, oh, our power grid's going to get hacked, I'm thinking, what the hell is our power, the controller for our power grid doing on the internet? Why is this a thing? So it's just another thing from a security standpoint to think about.
I mean, yeah, and if you really think about it, I mean, I've seen ATM machines with USB ports. I mean, right, because they're just a USB port. It's just standard. It was part of the little microprocessor they bought to build the ATM off of. Voting machines, oh, gosh, there we go.
Yeah. And the converse of this, and this article doesn't cover it, but the converse of that is you shouldn't plug your phone into any of those either, because it is absolutely possible for there to be a smart device, not just 5 volts, but smart device on the other end of that that could be pulling something through and trying to get into your phone. But that was just a crazy little thing. So I did not order one. In the chat room, Lori brought up the little USB thing that I ordered from China that came pre-hacked. This little guy right here, Wormy.
I think I warned you about that before you ordered it, if I recall correctly.
So there's a good chance that you warned me about this and I mocked you mercilessly and told you what an idiot you were, because that's just normally what I do. But it came pre-hacked. So yeah.
When I was trying to order USB drives one time, I accidentally ordered, you know, a bunch of cheap ones. They came in a box directly from China after a month. I'm like, yep, there. I just threw it away. I literally didn't even open, just straight to the trash can.
I can confirm that story. I was an employee of his when that happened.
I was like, $20 well spent right there. That poor homeless guy, he's got some viruses now.
Yeah, just think of all those small Chinese children that you employed for that. Okay, so I think that's it. Let's jump on to the promotion part. We're coming down to the end. So in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be in Atlanta. Shane sadly was not able to make this trip. So that will be unfortunate. But I'll be at Microsoft Ignite in Atlanta, September 26th through the 30th. I believe it's sold out, but you can go to ignite.microsoft.com and check. I'm doing upgrade session on Tuesday. a deploy and provision best practices on Thursday morning, doing some stuff at the Rackspace booth. We're going to try to find a time for a podcast breakfast or some kind of get together for all you podcast hooligans that are out there. And then just hanging out, all that kind of stuff.
So what this really was, right, the reason you said my name in that dialogue was to remind me that you're going to call me on the morning of the 26th and be like, hey, you're hosting the show tonight by yourself, right?
It may or may not be the morning. It may be sometime after lunch. It could, yeah, at some point, yeah. Good.
I was going to say, and also I think the audience, when you start doing the invites for breakfast, you need to point out to them that I will not be there. You know, you don't want any false expectations that they'd get to spend a half an hour, an hour eating breakfast with me.
Yeah, I'm sure there'd be a lot of disappointed faces when that happens. Yeah. And Kyle from the chat room is going to be at his first Ignite. Now, granted, this is only the second Ignite, so that's not, you know, that big of a deal. But we'll buy him breakfast at Ignite that. So. So then the next thing, so at the end of my October is crazy. October 24th through the 25th, I will be at SharePoint Days Slovenia. That will be at Lake Bled, Slovenia. I'm very excited about that. I put a video, they asked me to do like a promotional video that's out on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/ToddClintNetcast. You can watch that. I'm going to be doing an Azure AD session and something else, an upgrade session, I think. For those folks, sadly, because of a prior obligation I have here at home, I can't get there early. So my sessions will be on the 25th, and they're doing some stuff ahead of time on the 23rd that I'm not going to get to do. But I will be there for the 25th. So if you are in Europe and going to go to SharePoint Day Slovenia, you should stop on it and say hi. You guys can't see it, but Shane's got his new dog in his lap right now.
Yeah, my little pony came up to see me. Heard you talking about all these trips and travels, and he was excited. I did get a proposition today to do SP TechCon in December. I haven't decided if that's going to happen or not.
So I will not be there. This will be the very first SP TechCon I've ever missed. And I think as far as I know, Jennifer Mason and I were the only two people who had done every single SP TechCon and had some work travel and some home travel and just wasn't able to make it work.
Yep, and this will put us back on par because I just missed one, if I do recall correctly. So
now we have the same. So that'll be a SharePoint Day Slovenia, October 24th, 25th. I will be flying on the 26th, which is my anniversary, husband of the year, and then on the 27th and 28th is the IT Unity SharePoint Exchange Forum in Stockholm. And that is an event that I've been doing for like the last 8 or 9 years. Jorn Huseman puts that on. This year is the first time he's hooked up with the folks at IT Unity. It's going to be a good time. And I think I'm doing the same sessions there. I think I got lucky. I'm doing the Azure AD and the upgrade session.
You get to reuse all your material. So hopefully Jason writes some good jokes for you while you're at Ignite. And you can just...
there will be hell to pay if he doesn't. Yeah, if he doesn't write me some quality decks, I may not be his friend anymore. I may make him give that big head of me back. I don't know.
Yep. All right, I think the last thing here, because it's clearly 5:30 here because the dog is trying to eat me. But my YouTube channel, check it out. I did do a PowerShell for Beginners. I got published today. And I'm going to do... the next one will be working with objects. I've got this crazy script that Todd and I fought about the other day, and I'm going to just kind of show you how to do it. The next one, I'm going to do Azure and PowerShell, because that's been a lot of interesting stuff, being able to stop and start my sessions and stuff with that. So,
yeah, good stuff there. All right, so Shane needs to go eat before the dog eats him, and we may actually see that on film. August.
It is pretty ferocious. I don't know what's got him fired up, but whatever.
Yep. So I will be here next week, but the week after, yes, at the very last minute, I'll be telling Shane that he has to do the show. So we've got him prepped for that. So thanks, everybody. I'll be in the chat room for a while, the Slack chat room. Shane won't be because his computer's probably running out of memory right now. So thanks, everybody. Hopefully see you at Ignite, and I'll definitely see you next week. Bye.